You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
PackersTalk.com. Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Take New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I got to get my biceps a little bigger.
Yeah, you can always work on that.
Oh, I could sure use a hot dog with chili.
You know what time the game starts?
Hey, you got any left-handed footballs? We need to fire him.
Is anybody else tired or is it just me? Good thing I'm in shape.
You got any eligibility left?
I got some advice for y'all. Take 2 weeks off, then quit.
Pack to the Future is brought to you by The Ticket King. Whether you're making the trip to see Aaron Rodgers and the Packers play at legendary Lambeau Field, you want to see Giannis and the Bucks at the beautiful Fiserv Forum, or the Badgers, Brewers, or any concert tickets you might need, The Ticket King is your source no matter the occasion. Visit them online at theticketking.com and search their selection for yourself. And remember, there's no such thing as a sellout when you can go to The Ticket King. One more time, that's theticketking.com.
Hello, and welcome to the post-game review of the Packers-Eagles Thursday night matchup. I'm your host, Matt. Today I'm joined by Brandon. Duke and I had a bit of a scheduling conflict, so we have Brandon here to join us tonight. Brandon, aside from the loss on Thursday night, how are we feeling today?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on. I rewatched the Packer game on my second time today, so eager going into next week, but a lot of good positives out of last week.
Man, you were a braver soul than I going to rewatch that game. Let's dive right in. So you said you rewatched the film. What kind of jumped out to you? I know I have some thoughts as far as, you know, what was working well and what clearly needed to be worked on. Obviously, from a loss, you can take a lot from that. But, you know, what specifically jumped out to you?
I was very impressed with how much different personnel we were using. I noticed LaFleur's given a lot of different looks to the defense. He's running, you know, wide right. He's running tights in. He's got Geronimo on the inline. A lot of guys getting open a little better. Looks like Rodgers is gaining a little more trust in his receivers down the field, kind of getting that quick slant Packers back. And overall, I think Aaron Jones made a good impact despite Philly having a pretty good run D.
Yeah, honestly, that's a big thing that I think a lot of people were talking about after the game is that Philly D has stopped some pretty good running backs to start this year. And as soon as Jamal Williams went out, you kind of lost a little bit of that, you know, heavier punch in the game. So when it came down to like those goal line stands at the end of the game, you know, you didn't really have anybody that could really power the ball up the middle. But to your point, the passing game seemed to be working pretty well. They got Jimmy Graham a little bit more involved. We'll get into that a little bit more later. But the short passing game seemed to work. And, you know, Rodgers seemed to trust his receivers a lot more on Thursday night.
Yeah, I was impressed. Like you were saying, Jimmy Graham was doing well. We saw Geronimo kind of use his size a little bit to take an advantage on the inside. And I was impressed with that. But overall, I mean, it was a wide array of people kind of getting involved. You saw Danny Vitale kind of in the shotgun, sitting back as an extra blocker sometimes to give him a little more time. We stretched the play with some Mercedes Lewis, and then he made that miraculous hurdle over the guy. So gave us quite a bit of
that
different
was
looks.
A great play.
It gave Rodgers a little hope to trust his guys.
Yeah, and I really like that. You know, I know the Allison catch late in the game that he Rodgers just kind of threw it up to Allison, just trusting his receiver, kind of going up for more or less a 50-50 ball, and he came down with it. You know, showing a little bit more trust as Davante Adams went down late in that game, something you kind of need to do with your younger pass catchers to show that, you know, you need to get a little bit more confidence in those guys. And I think that's going to go a long way, especially if Adams, you know, we'll get more into the Adams injury. But,
yeah,
you know, if Adams is going to have to sit out a week or two. So, you know, I think you touched on one thing that I kind of liked coming out of this game was you saw a little bit more of the Matt LaFleur offense kind of being brought out. I think it was a little bit more subdued against some pretty good defenses the first couple of weeks, but against the banged up, Eagles secondary, I think he could get a little bit more creative and include his tight ends and his fullbacks a little bit more. And even the running backs, I feel like I saw a good number of plays to Aaron Jones in the passing game.
Yeah, he made a great impact in the passing game, especially on some of those late drives after Devontae was kind of banged up and we needed some extra looks, and that pass rush was starting to come after Bulaga went down. And so Rodgers just really found a way to kind of step up into the pocket, roll out, obviously get the rushing yards as, you know, the team leader. But he took those advantages and really had some good zip on the ball, you know, throwing with real intention to who he wanted.
Yeah, 100%. So kind of piggybacking off of that for a second, late in the game, you know, Rodgers, they were in four down territory in the red zone with the clock expiring. What's side do you kind of fall on as far as, do you put the ball in Rodgers' hands four times, or do you try and run that football once or twice?
I think you got to try at least one run. Don't get me wrong. I don't mind the fades. I don't mind jump balls to guys like Jimmy or Geronimo, who are definitely going to outsize, like you said, that weaker Philadelphia secondary. But Aaron Jones made a pretty good break tackle on the first touchdown we scored. And you have Danny Vitale to run in the hole. I think you got to kind of give some people the opportunity to get 2 yards.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And I'm actually a big, I would say a big opposition to the fade into the end zone. I just think 50-50 balls in the NFL, you're not trying hard enough, essentially, from a play calling standpoint. You're really sacrificing what talent you do have. And if you're doing it to one person, Jimmy Graham's probably the right person. You got a 6'7" guy in there with a big body.
He's just got to use both hands.
He's got to use – oh, my gosh. And if it hits his hands, it's got to come down, right? Like, that's the biggest thing that stood out to me was that should have been a touchdown, and we're looking at a completely different ball game.
He looked at like he had it corralled on that first attempt when he threw the one hand up. And I just don't know if his other arm was pinned or he didn't kind of get his body around. But I think that's definitely something we miss, you know, with that full body control like Jordy used to be really incredible at.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the reason I feel like they brought Jimmy Graham in was to have that red zone target. And he's had moments of, you know, being that athletic, you know, 2013 Jimmy Graham that I think that kind of gave the Packers, you know, excitement when they signed him. But we really haven't seen any of that consistent, you know, yards after the catch or that ability to really just completely blow by his man or destroy his guy in coverage. So it was a little discouraging to see, you know, the inconsistencies come out in this game, especially where those short passes seem to be really working and really clicking in between the hashes. But then when it came time for you to really need that big body of Jimmy Graham, he really couldn't deliver for you.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe it was, we were just too condensed at the 1 yard line that the spacing wasn't provided for that. But even on some of those late ones, we didn't really utilize the center of the field. Once we got down there, it was more so from, you know, the 20 to the 20, we were great at it. Being able to spread the defense and sit in the pockets, which Adams feasted on all night. And then he ended up taking the sideline on a couple of them.
Yep. So let's kind of dig into the Adams stuff a little bit here. You know, he came out of the game. It looks like he has turf toe. Obviously, Eric Dickerson stuff aside, trying to figure out how to fix his toe and get him on the field a little bit sooner. You know, what is this offense going to look like with, you know, Geronimo Allison and MVS this upcoming week? Dallas is a really good secondary. You know, what should we expect out of this Packers passing game with, you know, a little bit more you don't really have Adams' ability to kind of get open, you know, right off the line of scrimmage or anything like that. So what do you think we're going to see a little bit more of in this Dallas game?
We're gonna need Geronimo and MVS to kind of keep running those deep ends, those slants, because those Cowboys linebackers, they're gonna cover a lot of that center of the field. So we're gonna have to get quick passes, and especially if Bulaga's out, where Rodgers has to get the ball out quick. I think we could do a pretty good job in the run game. Aaron Jones could get going here. We're gonna need it, obviously, with Adams out. But I think it's up to Lazard and Shepard to kind of step up and eat up some of that yardage that Adams is producing.
And I think you touched on something that I kind of wanted to get a little bit more into. They really need to get those backups a little bit more playing time. I think that, you know, Lazard and Shepard are pretty athletic guys. They can get open with, you know, Shepard's got a little bit of that speed that you kind of need in this offense, and I think it's been lacking. Obviously, MVS has been good with the deep ball, but, you know, they traded Trevor Davis away. You know, MVS is your really only deep threat from that standpoint. I think they just need to get somebody else on the field that creates a mismatch. You know, I think that's been something that has created a little bit of an inconsistency, is constantly relying on these one-on-one matchups, your receivers to win those one-on-one matchups, just kind of on their own merit. You know, Adams is really good with that because he has that violent first step off the line of scrimmage. And MVS is just, you know, he's got the straight line speed to get open. But, you know, Shepard showed a lot in the preseason to be able to kind of get open. And I'd love to see what that looks like in, some extended snap counts. But yeah, you know, they really need to kind of figure out how to adjust over the course of the game, because I think you saw it again. They opened up the game pretty well, like with the scripted plays. But when Adams went down and when the run game wasn't working, when they went off script, it kind of started to break down a little bit.
Yeah, agreed. We saw a lot of positivities early on. They were running a lot of jet stream motions, can kind of end around motion to keep the defense honest, kind of keeping that those DNs home. And like you said, it looked very stagnant. Like we had a lot of stacked receivers in the same area, even late in the game, even before Devontae went out. Jimmy Graham's touchdown was on that kind of situation too. So I don't know if we just got to work on our scramble drill, kind of the Rodgers special. But it's definitely going to be important for those young guys to find the soft spot in the zone and give Rodgers some good looks, because we can't depend on him to be our leading rusher and throw 50-50 balls all day if we want to win.
Well, and even the Rodgers scramble drill, a lot of the times that those worked out, it was because he was going to those old reliable receivers, like Jordy Nelson had been in the offense for years, Randall Cobb had been in the offense for years, and they were staples of that. They were finding the soft spots in the zone, in coverage to be able to get open on those scramble drills. So, you know, now you're down to MBS, who's a second year player, and Geronimo Allison, who's an undrafted free agent and kind of at the end of his contract. So, you know, you're going to have to get a little bit more creative with how you can get these guys open. I think if there's anybody that can kind of do it, it's LaFleur and getting a little bit more creative with maybe they go a little bit more into the 12 personnel and get a couple more tight ends in there. Maybe get some Bob Tonyan a little bit more run.
Yes. I'm here for Bob Tonyan.
all about Big Bob. But, yes. You know, you saw a lot of Graham and you're seeing a lot of Mercedes Lewis. But, you know, Bob Tonyan really creates kind of a mismatch against those linebackers if they get them in coverage, even as good as those linebackers are. That's still a big target to get over the middle.
Absolutely. And if you look at kind of how the Cowboys played Sunday night against the Saints, it was a lot of that same quick passes we've been talking about. And they utilize Josh Hill on the screen. They use their second and third tight ends to make a good impact as, you know, the first few plays were taken away from them. So I think it's going to be important for Mercedes and Big Bob to be able to do their thing on Sunday if we're going to have any success moving the ball.
And I think a big part of the short passing game will kind of rely on that offensive line. So I know we've kind of alluded to it a little bit with the Brian Bulaga injury, but Alex Light came in relief after that injury, and kind of an up and down performance from him. He got burned by a little bit, settled down a little bit later in the game, but against a really good Cowboys pass rush, how confident are you feeling that pass protection is going to be good enough against a really good secondary too? The Cowboys have some pretty good young defensive backs that are going to give Rodgers and the passing offense some fits.
Yeah, I agree. Those DNs are pretty quick. Robert Quinn was just eating all day on Sunday night, and you know, his first game back. And I mean, what is that? DeMarcus Lawrence on the other side is no slouch either. So I think Light's going to have a hard time doing it. We're going to have to, like I said, do some play actions, kind of keep the stretch, keep the quick pass going, and let them overrun a lot of plays. And that's where we found success, you know, in little bursts for Aaron Jones.
Yeah. And honestly, I'd like to see Aaron Jones get a little bit more involved early in the passing game. I know pretty much whenever he's been on the field, it seemed like they keep trying to do these stretch runs with them. And I don't think that's really a strength of this offensive line. Like, they keep trying to push off tackle And I, for whatever reason, I don't know if they're telegraphing it, but it seems like it's always stopped at the line of scrimmage. And really where this run offense kind of succeeded was up the middle, you know, getting, you know, pushing the defensive line back, let the guards in the center maul a little bit more.
Let the big boys go play. You know what I mean? It's our stretch, like you said, we don't have the tight ends on the edge to solidify that blocking. Our receivers are pretty good, but they're still kind of wiry guys. You know, they're not built to go out there and block some of these DNs that, you know, they're expected to do. I mean, if you look at one of our big turnovers was Mercedes Lewis was stuck on Derek Barnett. And he had a choice, either let the sack happen and let him go around or, you know, basically push him in the back. So he was kind of at a lost cause.
I don't know at what point LaFleur looks at his tight ends, whether it's, you know, Mercedes Lewis, who is well in the twilight of his career, or Jimmy Graham, who has never been a good blocker in his career. At what point do you just kind of look at it and say, I probably shouldn't be blocking top tier pass rushers with tight ends? Because it's happened through the first 4 weeks. We saw it with Khalil Mack in the first week, Danielle Hunter in the second week. Last week they tried to have Chubb against Graham, and this week it was Barnett against Lewis. And I mean, he absolutely destroyed Lewis.
He feasted on that. That was, yeah, he had him immediately, and it was just a juke out and just full speed right at Rodgers.
So before we kind of switch over to the defense, any last words on the offense you kind of we didn't touch on, or you kind of want to look forward to in the next week? Hopefully, it's something you want to see out of the offense in the next week.
I just think we got to clean up those red zone woes. I mean, obviously the fourth quarter ones are, you know, the ones that everyone highlights. But if you look at it, we were dominating that game in the second quarter, and we settled for a field goal, and then we had to settle for, you know, another one later in the half that kind of put us in a hole, and then Eagles came back and took the lead right before half. So I think those are big momentum killers, especially at home. When the offense scores 27 and has four missed or disappointing red zone trips, it shows the kind of potential we have, but we got to clean that up. And it's a first-year coach, and everyone is, you know, concerned over what happened, but there's a lot of positive signs of scheme and setup and getting everyone in their positions to play well.
I think you touched on something that I would want to get on with the offense. Is it's week four, and with a new offense and a new head coach, it's just going to take a little bit of time to get into rhythm with this and know kind of where the strengths of this offense is. It's going to take time to figure out, all right, you know, what kind of Geronimo Allison do we have coming back from injury? You know, how much has MVS kind of progressed? You know, how can we get these other, you know, playmakers involved? It's just going to take a little bit of time. And, you know, if you would have told me before the start of the season that this offense would be putting up 422 yards in the passing game in week four against the Eagles and be 3-1 to start the season, I would have been thrilled. You know, looking at the first 4 weeks of this season, you know, it sucks that they lost on Thursday night, but there's a reason why the Eagles have been so good for the last couple of years, and they're a really well-coached team. So as we kind of transition into the defense that led by Jim Schwartz, you know, they did a really good job of stopping the run on Thursday night. And one of my big takeaways was, you know, you can put Blake Martinez is a great run blocker, and I think Clint Clark is a great run blocker. And then after that, the Packers really don't have a lot of guys up the middle where I would reliably put them on the field for three downs, whether it's a passing or running situation. And, you know, with the loss of Mike Daniels Mike Daniels getting cut this season, you know, they don't really have a ton of three down players in the front seven. And I think that was kind of a big contributing factor to why the run game just kind of got torched on Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're throwing in a lot of guys in there. Like Lowry plays well in flashes, but is, like you said, is he a three down player? Lancaster is serviceable, but again, he's not going to be, you know, a world beater against a pretty good Philly O-line. Like we've said, that team's well coached. They know how to run the ball regardless of who the running back is. And we got to be able to, you know, seal the gaps so guys like Blake Martinez can consistently lead the team in tackles. I think he was involved on almost 15 of them, and the next highest guy is like 8. So we're going through him a lot in the center of the field, and we're using undersized kind of split safeties to fill in the gaps. And yeah. I think Oren Burks coming back, if he gets healthy for the week, would be a great addition.
Yeah, that's been an encouraging thing from the practices this week, is Oren Burks is back in full pads and practicing. But you kind of mentioned something that I wanted to touch on. Will Redmond got 26 snaps on defense on Thursday night. Josh Jackson only got 10, and I think a lot of people have been clamoring for Josh Jackson's move to safety. And with how good those Philly tight ends were, and that was my big fear going into this game, is Dallas Goedert was healthy going into that game, and Zach Ertz is always a matchup nightmare. That was just going to be a terrible matchup for this defense. They don't have anybody with the size or the speed to keep up with those guys. And with how quick this Philly offense is passing the ball and getting the ball out of Wentz's hands, you know, it didn't really give enough time for Preston or Za'Darius Smith to get to the quarterback, or Rashawn Gary or anybody like that to get to the quarterback. And, you know, they just feasted all day on those short passes. And then in the run game, you know, Blake Martinez was the only linebacker to play more than seven snaps, or inside linebacker to play more than seven snaps. B.J. Goodson only played seven. And you got to imagine that's because they don't trust him in the passing game. And against those big tight ends, it's really, you can't trust those two again in coverage.
Yeah, and if you look at early on in the game too, we are actually running Jair on against Ertz, and Ertz ran after him, ready, all frustrated on the first drive. It was great to see. We were taking our best weapon against theirs, and I was really hopeful early on in the game that would be the case. Kevin King did a great job on the outside on Alshon on a couple of plays, but once we started letting our corners stay on the receivers, and it was more so Redmond and the linebacker covering Goedert and Ertz over the middle, we definitely saw a lot of mismatches that allowed for them to, you know, kind of pick us apart or take a lot of good running options.
And I don't, and as much as I love Jair, I don't love playing him on a tight end. That's not going to be his game. He's going to get out muscled in a lot of those situations and outsized. I know he's been in receivers' back pockets, but you know, you get them over the open field and on quick routes, and I mean, that's easy money. But you touched on Kevin King. I felt Kevin King had a really solid showing after a really rough go of it against Denver. Had a couple pass breakups, and albeit it was against a hobbled Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah.
But it's really good to see him bounce back from a game like that and show, you know, why he was a second round pick. And if he can stay healthy, how good this secondary really can be. But yeah, they really need to find an answer, and find an answer quick for these short passing games and these quick runs, because, you know, they can't keep Blake Martinez in coverage like that against those kinds of tight ends. And hopefully Oren Burks will be able to kind of step in. And I know he's a little bit better in that regard, but you know, is he going to be 100% coming back here is kind of my big question.
Yeah. And he might be slow to get back, and I'm not sure they're ready to throw Ty Summers more in there and things like that. But our pass rush just didn't have time to get there. The Eagles played a pretty good pass blocking scheme. Like you said, it was quick passing. They kept us honest with that off-tackle run. And you know, like you said, Preston and Za'Darius and Gary had very limited impact. And so hopefully they can get to Dak this week. He was rushed around a little bit against New Orleans. So there's definitely a sign there, as long as we can contain Zeke.
Yeah, and that brings up another good point. It looks like Tyron Smith has a high ankle sprain going into this next week. So hopefully the Packers will be able to get after Dak a little bit more. But one thing we really haven't seen is Dak's a big boy and can kind of get outside the pocket a little bit more. We haven't seen this defense against a little bit more of a mobile quarterback, so we'll see how it goes against Dak. Obviously, it'll help to not have one of the best left tackles in football opposite you. But, you know, stopping Zeke will probably be the primary goal for next week. I think the wide receivers are a little banged up too. Michael Gallup has been out the last couple weeks too.
Doesn't look like he's coming back before the game.
Yeah. So it looks like he'll be out. We'll see a familiar face in Randall Cobb. You'll probably, if I could guess, you'll probably see a lot of Jair on him. And then Kevin King on Amari Cooper. So I think they match up pretty well, all things considered. It's just making sure that Zeke, you know, doesn't have a lot of room to run, or at least, you know, we schemed a little bit more for a power running game like Dallas has.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to run a little more in line, where the runs that have beaten us, it was Philip Lindsay. It was these stretch quick little like gadgets to the outside. So it'll be encouraging to see if, you know, we can kind of just grit up and get in the hole.
Yep. And I don't know if we've heard anything about Montrevious Adams, but I think he's actually been a pretty big loss in the run game as well. And I don't know if I would have said that last year at all, because of how good that defensive line was with Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels. But, you know, he had a good first week and a good finish to last season. So, you know, that's been kind of a big factor for this run defense, is they've lost a lot of pieces. And I kind of want to see how they recover against a really good running team and what the game plan looks like. So, you know, Raven Green going down, Montrevious Adams going down. Do they include Ty Summers a little bit, who kind of struggled wrapping up ball carriers? You know, will Oren Burks get a little bit more run? Or his first real run of the season.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, a lot of questions that I have in regard to that. But I think my favorite quote from Petten early in the season was, you get to Miami a lot faster through the air than on the ground. So, you know, will they kind of stick by that after basically, I'll say it, they lost the game on the ground last week. So, you know, will they be able to kind of, you know, change the script there a little bit and be able to stop the run a little bit better so it doesn't open up the short passing game?
And we just got to put ourselves in more winnable situations, because too many times they're getting third and short, you know, very easily convertible third downs where, you know, Carson Wentz was able to just kind of fall forward for, you know, the first down. I think if we can, like you said, Dak's a big boy, so we're going to have to make sure we wrap up and secure a lot of ground on that.
Yep. And that's going to be kind of my big watch this week, is this pass rush after a week of being completely snowballed. Like, they didn't have anything this past week. So, you know, are they going to be a little bit hungry to get after the quarterback this upcoming week? And then if they are, you know, being able to get Dak to the ground. I think the one I kind of want to see a little bit more is, you know, Rashawn Gary kind of stacking success a little bit more. He struggled once he gets to the quarterback, actually finishing the sack. I know Preston and Zadarius have done a pretty good job to start the season with that, but they're going to need to get all their pass rushers kind of involved with this. And can he, you know, can he build off of the, you know, that speed to power that he had against Denver to get that sack the other week? He's going to have a lot of opportunity to do that if, you know, Zadarius is still a little banged up from a couple weeks ago. So that's kind of what I look to this week, is get a little bit more pressure on the quarterback this week. You know, it's not quite the same quick passing offense, stretch runs that you kind of saw with these quick backs. So, you know, what more Mike Pettin's kind of scheming on defense to try and stop this power running offense with a pretty good quarterback who's had a good start to the season in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, Dak has showcased a pretty good coming out party that he's a contender in this league. It'll be important for Pettin to, like you said, draw up a bunch of stuff. And I know we talked about it earlier. He didn't really rush a lot of guys. He was dropping back and trying to make sure that they could beat us. And if you remember, a lot of our successful defenses were calling some exotics, but it's a healthy mix. And early on in the season, we didn't have to call a lot of people in. So maybe he brings in some more of those, you know, off corner blitzes, or just kind of spreads it out a little bit, drops it, maybe Kenny Clark at times. Something to at least give them a different look so that it doesn't look so stagnant and just running the same, you know, four drop in.
And I think the stat was Petten brought pressure 10 times on Thursday night. And there were three completions on those passes. But on those completions, the ball was coming out quick. It was under 2 seconds every single time. But the ball was out within 3 seconds, because that's just kind of how quick this passing offense was. And really, that's just kind of the mismatch that Philly brought to the table, and how, you know, that's just kind of how, you know, Matt LaFleur, being a first year coach, I think still kind of figuring out a little bit of the chess match that is the NFL game. You know, Doug Peterson's now in his, I think this is his third season. You know, he's really started to get good at this chess match and figuring out, you know, where are my advantages? What can I do to create these mismatches on the offensive side of the ball? And it really showed on Thursday night. You know, they found the hole in the running game and then really utilized those tight ends to the best of their ability. But will we see that same thing out of Dallas this upcoming week? I don't think they're nearly as well coached of a team as the Eagles are, but you know, they certainly have the talent to be able to create some problems for this Packers defense.
Yeah, agreed. You got to give kudos to Doug Peterson. I mean, granted, he spent, you know, almost 15 plus years as a backup. It's essentially just an offensive coordinator, right? He's sitting there just watching the plays. And so he's definitely a veteran in this league, whereas LaFleur's learning and he's figuring it out and he's going to have some learning curves. It's positive the situation we're in. But, you know, on the other side, Kellen Moore is still learning how to call plays in Dallas. So they're not really at a leg up on talent. I mean, Amari Cooper's pretty talented, but arguably I think we have the better quarterback. So I would always lead the edge on that when it comes to the game.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Well, switching gears, I know there are a few topics that kind of came out of this game. I think one of them was, you know, the referees was a big, a bit of consternation for a lot of fans. You know, we saw the pass interference, MVS that was challenged, and then the one kind of in at the goal line that even MVS himself quote tweeted after the game. And then the Derek Barnett helmet to helmet on Jamal Williams, and then later getting the strip sack after he probably should have been ejected. So kind of wanted to pick your brain, you know, were these factors in the overall outcome of this game, or is this just kind of something that, you know, you can't really plan for and you really need to just kind of overcome it over the course of a game?
Yeah, I think obviously you have to overcome anything that comes at you. The MVS one down the sideline, that's even Mike Pereira was calling that as like a picture perfect of what they're training as PI. So it's a little questionable that when you challenge it and they're still not getting it right, or when it's an automatic review and they're not getting it right. But I think over the course of a season, that's going to even out. And hopefully, you know, they kind of figure out what that looks like and how much they want to determine, you know, refs overturning those calls. But I think you have to just make up for it. If you don't kick field goals and if you, you know, can run the ball in the red zone, you don't have to worry about penalties and missed PIs and things like that. As for the Derek Barnett situation, they came out to hit. If you look on most of the plays, they were gunning for shoulders. I mean, sometimes it's a tricky game where you do get hit in the head, but Sendejo was headhunting on that play, took out his own guy. Mm-hmm. Barnett, there was no need to hit a guy that's wrapped up by three people. It's a dirtbag play, but if you look throughout the game, there was, you know, four or five were just face masks blatantly. Like, they're just reaching in there, and they were astonished they got called for them. But so they're taught to rattle us, and they did a pretty good job. But I think you still have to always overcome those, and if you're mentally weak, it's just going to take you out of the game.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And you just have to kind of play – you kind of got to play the game in front of you. You know, the Packers were in a position at the end of that game to tie it up. They had a lot of scoring opportunities. So it's hard to kind of dwell on one or two particular bad calls and say that that was the reason they lost. You know, they had literally the interception in the red zone to end the game. Mm-hmm. They had four opportunities to punch the ball in there and a couple other opportunities to punch the ball in the red zone. You know, really, a lot of that comes with the caveat that they've created these new rules to be able to get it right, and they've kind of missed it, which, you know, it sucks, and you hate to see it, but, you know, it's hard for me to be really mad about it because of, you know, they did play a great game on offense and had opportunities to win that football game and just couldn't capitalize.
Absolutely. And if you look at, it's just unfortunate the timing of both of those situations, right? If those plays are in the first quarter and it's, you know, a 0-0 game, are people crying as loudly as they are?
No.
I don't think so, right? You know, the one on MBS down the sideline was the first drive out of halftime. he gets that, all of a sudden maybe we're driving and we take a lead to start the second half and it's a different momentum, right? The one at the end of the game, clearly a game changer. But as you said, you had three opportunities before that to run the ball, try a different play. And it's just an unfortunate situation that they didn't see it. And hopefully they get it right as the season goes on.
Yep, totally agree with you there. All right, so let's kind of put a cap on the burn the film from the Eagles game. Put a cap on it. You know, who did you like coming out of this game? Who would you give your game ball to coming out of this Eagles game if you could give somebody a game ball?
Obviously, Devontae had the biggest numbers per se for the offense, but I got to give it to Geronimo. He was kind of a non-factor in a lot of the early games as far as the offense goes. And, you know, granted, Jimmy kind of showcased his, but his, like you said earlier, he's a Jekyll and Hyde. So I give it to Geronimo because right before half, he made those two incredible catches and able to find the open spot in the defense for the touchdown. He had, I think, a deep slant earlier in the game that gave him, he had about four catches for 50 yards, pretty solid stat line. But without that, I don't think it was as close of a game if we don't score before half.
Yeah, unfortunately, you stole my game ball, and especially for that reason you just mentioned. You know, he was able to kind of bring a little bit more to this game. He had that nice catch over the middle kind of late in the game from Rodgers on a more or less a 50-50 ball. But yeah, I thought after kind of a slow start to the season, and what I think is him just kind of slowly coming back from injury because he has had such great chemistry with Rodgers over the years. You know, it was good to see a little bit of a bounce back game from him. So I'll kind of go in a different direction. I alluded to it earlier. Kevin King really bouncing back from a really – he got really roughed up against Cortland Sutton against Denver. Coming back, albeit Alshon Jeffrey a little bit banged up in this game. But Kevin King had two pass breakups that were enormous in the outcome of this football game. Really, I think that he when he was targeted, he only let in 38 yards or so. You know, for a young corner who's been injured the last couple of years, really trying to prove himself and show that when he's healthy, he can be a really good corner. He did a good job of that on Thursday night.
Absolutely. It's encouraging to see. And as the receivers, I think, only had, what, besides Alshon, one catch for 13 yards. So him and Jair could be a really good help to just whatever pass rush was we have.
Yep. Yep, totally hear you there. All right, so let's look ahead to the Dallas game a little bit. Let's do kind of a couple quick hits and what you want to see out of the offense, and then we'll give our score predictions for what we think we'll see as the outcome on Sunday.
All right. Yeah, I guess my main focus is we got to establish the run, especially if Devontae's out. I'd like to see Aaron Jones involved not only in more dives, less of the stretches, get more, go into that I formation and let's really smash mouth football sometimes. Get ready for, you know, you're going to need that late in the season. I'd like to see that. And then as a fan of them, I'd like to see more use of Bob Tonyan in the passing game. I just think, like you said, he's a big mismatch opportunity and we're going to need to keep those guys in there to block with Bulaga out. So control the clock. And I think we could really come out of Dallas with a win, as Rodgers says before.
I hear you there, and I'd love to get the run game going a little bit more power run game. And if Jamal Williams is, in fact, out, I'd actually like to see a little bit more of Dex Williams get in there and get some carries. Yes. I know a lot of Packer fans were excited about him when he came in. He's an interesting person that I would like to keep an eye on. Had some fumbling issues in the preseason, but I think presents kind of an interesting idea in this Matt LaFleur offense, you know, that he was basically prototype for Matt LaFleur offense. So I kind of want to see a little bit of that one cut move up the field that we were promised and kind of have been jilted a little bit since he's been healthy and active the first couple of weeks. But what I kind of want to see is, you know, how this defense responds. You know, this was a defense that was touted for the first couple of weeks as being a top, I mean, people were calling it a top five defense. And then they got punched in the mouth on Thursday night in the run game. So how do they respond to the run game? What kind of different things does Mike Pettine has schemed up to be able to stop a power run offense led by Zeke Elliott? And, you know, to a lesser extent, Dak Prescott being able to power through and get a little bit of extra yardage with his legs. But you know, the pass rushers as well. You know, they were silent on Thursday night. I know Preston Smith only had one QB hit, and that was early in the game. And really, nobody else sniffed the quarterback much other than that, other than Tremont Williams. So, you know, how does this pass rush, this front seven, really respond to a down game and really reclaim that top, you know, that name for themselves that they kind of had started to build up the first couple of weeks? So, building off of that, what do you think the outcome is going to be on Sunday? What are you predicting?
I'm predicting it'll be a 17-13 game. It's going to be ugly. Ooh. For a lot. It's going to be, and I'm going to say 17-13 Pack. I don't think either team is going to really move the ball well. You saw Dallas's woes against New Orleans, and obviously with Devontae out, we're going to have to just kind of control clock and take opportunities as they come. Maybe that's a Geronimo or an MVS over the top, or do we have to bank on that defense again to get us a score? It'll be a big statement game for what kind of toughness this team wants to be.
Yep, and I'm actually going to go the opposite way with this. I hate to say it, but I think they're going to have a little bit of a regression here. I think it's going to be 20-17 Dallas. You're going into a hostile environment. You're coming off a game where your defense kind of got exposed, and now those flaws in the defense are on tape, and you know, teams that are looking at a new offense and a new defense, really both sides of the ball are brand new, with new players on the defensive side of the ball and a completely new offense from Matt LaFleur. Now you're starting to you have 4 weeks of tape on both sides of the ball, and we haven't really seen much of once they're off script and once they're, you know, not as unpredictable as they were to start the season. I think they're going to have a little bit of trouble kind of adjusting and growing into the season. It might take a few weeks here, and also getting a little healthy, getting Oren Burks back. And I think somebody who's going to come in after he's off the PUP and kind of contribute a lot to this defense is Ibrahim Campbell. You know, absolutely. He was that Raven Green type role, where he was that hybrid linebacker that I think will step in pretty seamlessly when he's off the field. But again, they won't have him back until week seven. So I think you're going to see a little bit more of the struggle in the run defense for a little while here, and they're going to have some growing pains with it. But I have hope if they're able to shut down Zeke Elliott. They, you know, I will be happy to eat crow next Monday when they inevitably win. But so that's all I got for this week. You know, we'll be doing this every Monday. We'll hopefully have Brandon around for a couple of more pods in the future here. If you want to give us a follow, I believe it's Brat Favre on Twitter for Brandon. Yes, over sir. There, and it's M Baumgartner 807 for me. So if you want to give us a follow, feel free to do so. And I think that's it for now. Brandon, let us go with a go pack go here.
Yeah, go pack go.
All right, we'll see you next week, folks.
All right, thank you.